Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Well, hello. Hi. Happy Friday. Welcome back. Welcome to Good Game Nice Try. I'm Sonia, and I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Aaron Blair. I'm going to keep calling you beautiful.
I'll take it. Happy Friday. What's going on? What are we doing? What's going on? How was your week? What are you playing? What's up? Tell me everything. What do the streets say? What are the streets? You're out there on the streets.
Am I?
What have they been whispering to you? The video game streets.
Well, I've been off the streets and in the cloud.
Oh!
What's up? I've been doing a lot of cloud gaming. I've been playing.
What does that mean?
Well, I got this Luna controller. It's all cloud-based stuff, but I've been playing. I never actually played Katamari.
Okay.
So I've been playing a little Katamari re-roll. I'm playing amazing. A little bit of that. Moving Out. I think I talked to you about Moving Out.
Moving Out's so fun.
It's so fun. It's so funny. It's just
explain
ridiculous.
It to people who don't know what Moving Out is.
Well, you're moving out. You're basically where do I start? You're hired as this mover, and you go in and you try and just move stuff. I don't know how else to simply.
I would say Overcooked, but moving furniture rather than cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very just silly, comedic, ridiculous. I don't know. How you doing?
What's up? Oh, man. I got something to confess.
Oh.
So I used to do a lot, and I haven't done it in a long time, and I did it again over the weekend.
Had human contact.
Human. That's right. I talked to a person.
Oh.
Right now, Middle Earth Shadow of War, which is the sequel to Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, the Lord of the Rings game, is on sale for $10.
Ooh.
And the first one, for anybody who hasn't played Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor, have you played it?
I have not.
It's basically, think you played the Batman stuff, right?
Okay, a little.
It's like you're Batman, but you're in elf world. It's like Batman and Elf World is basically how I would say it.
That's a good name for a game also.
Batman and Elf World.
Love that.
That's the name of my autobiography. But it is so fun. The powers are fun. You get like the skill trees branch. You get powerful very quickly. The skills are all awesome. It's got that flow combat system. You're just killing orcs right and left. It's so great.
Love it.
But here's the thing that I did that I haven't done in a long time. Okay. I bought this game Friday. I played till 6 a.m. on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
I started at 6 p.m., played 12 hours almost straight.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I called you shortly. I'm having a video issue, and you're the video guy. So
that's
I called you moments before we recorded this.
That's right.
Moments.
That's
and
right.
You're like, the whole time. Were you playing the whole time we were on the phone?
I was.
You told me at the very end. He's like, I gotta tell you, I'm playing this.
Here's the thing.
Aaron.
I just, look, I needed to get in a few minutes.
Did you progress?
Shadow of War. I was fighting this. So the whole thing in this game is you fight these bosses and then eventually you work your way up and you take over a whole fortress is kind of the thing. Mm. So I'm fighting like a mid-level boss and you call me. I'm like, I can't stop playing. I got to get this in. And I'm fighting Ishgar the Cursed. He's a mystic berserker. And so I'm fighting this dude and I don't want to stop. And so you call me on the phone. I'm like, hey, how's it going? And I have like the phone like on my shoulder and I'm playing and I muted it. And I'm sitting, by the way, I'm not going to show you because this is a podcast. But I drag my chair so it's directly in front of my giant big screen TV. So I'm sitting a foot from the television. And I am just in, I am fucking Batman and Elf world, man. I am in it.
I heard
it. Got like, oh, you heard it.
I'm like, yeah, I got this video file and yeah, I just, I don't know. I tried to open it in VLC and meanwhile.
And I'm like, execution, execution. Just like, there's like orc blood on the screen. And I'm like, I beheaded four people when I was talking to you.
And it says 8 gigabytes. So like, I think the file's still there.
And I'm just
but
like gut. And then I'd be like, Shadow Strike. And then I do Elven Rage, which is like you do 35 hits on this big battle orc, just like loading him up with arrows. Oh, it's so sweet. Anyway, at the very end when Sonny and I are talking, so you're kind of like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, there's a container issue and all this stuff. And I think it just needs to finalize the thing. And I'm just killing. And I get poisoned. They hit me with a grog barrel that's poisoned. And I'm like, I'm trying to run away. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I'm like, yeah, why don't you, we might be, why don't you ask Jen if we could be a few minutes late for the podcast.
Send it to me and blah, blah, blah.
And then I got killed. And I screamed on the phone with you
there's
so
a lot
loud.
Of, a lot of things I cannot repeat on this podcast.
I think you were honestly like worried for my sanity because I was like, yeah, container issue, all good. Then I'm like, Iskar the Cursed! Ah, fuck, you mystical. And you're like, whoa, dude, are you okay?
I think we lost connection after that. I think we got disconnected. It was kind of strange, like the timing.
I think you hung up. Rightfully so.
Either or. Well, let's get into it. I was trying so hard not to fangirl nearly as much as I probably was internally during this entire interview, but our guest today is incredible. She is the mastermind behind the Twitch streamer Code Miko, a virtual streamer whose Twitch streams have taken off over the last year or so, and the person behind the tech goes by the Technician. So she sat down with us and chatted about what goes into making Miko, the inspiration for the character, all the crazy stuff that happens on her stream, and so much more. So enjoy our interview with the Technician. The Technician is here.
Yay! Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. You guys are so cool. I've been a fan of Conan O'Brien since he was born. Okay.
Whoa, yeah. From a baby.
I wasn't born, but like I actually went to one of you guys' Conan's shows, like live shows.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, who, do you remember who the guest
was? Yes, it was 2007 and then was Robin Williams.
Whoa. Oh,
yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's an amazing one to go
it
to.
It was amazing.
I love it.
I love Miko. I am a huge, huge fan. I love your streams. But I need to know, you know, like I've been streaming for a while, but how do I get your energy?
Oh my God.
How? You're streaming like practically daily. You're doing videos, all of the development, everything. How do you?
I don't know where it comes from. It's just like once I start streaming, I think it's because I'm very reserved all the other times. And then when I'm streaming, it's like, time for me to just let it all go and be wild. So that's kind of like where I get like my like insane energy.
It's honestly so good. So I guess for people who aren't familiar with Code Miko and everything, could you describe your stream and tell us what happens? Because honestly, it's absolute chaos.
So yeah, so Miko is a video game character who failed to... because she's so scuffed that she failed to be a video game character. So she decided to try Twitch streaming on Twitch. And basically the chat, because she's a video game character, has like certain controls over her environment. So they can like blow her up. They can make her fart. They can make her speak different languages or start speaking in chicken.
Oh.
You don't trust chat with anything.
Can't trust chat.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about Twitch streaming is like your community has a huge integration to like your content and they can like either make things really hard for you and then when they annoy you or make you angry, that's like even better content for them, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
That's so good.
And Sonya, you know, you as well as the Technician can speak to this more than I can, but you know, you guys have gigantic followings and it must be so cool when they come up with something or they place a piece into the puzzle of that really fun thing you're doing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it forms like a sense of community, like, and that, and they really enjoy, you know, feeling like, well, and they are, you know, that this a whole, yeah. it's a whole show that's also influenced by them, as well as not just the content creator doing everything, but they also have a hand in what happens to the show and stuff like that. So I think they really like that, and it makes them feel like more of a unified community. But they love annoying me. That's their best content, is when I get annoyed. That's when they laugh the most, or when I get angry. That's when they're like having the blast. And they're like, please clip this, clip and ship it. God. You know?
What are some of their favorite ways? Like what do they go to when they're like, I know I really wanna
love. So I'm like, I'm driving with my interviewer and we're talking about things. They love muting me. Especially when it's well timed, like I'm about to say something, like reveal something or tell them something important, they mute me and I can't say it for 30 seconds, and that's when they love it. They love that.
30 seconds is a while.
It's a long time. Especially I've seen them be able to make you so you have to talk like a chicken.
Yep.
And you have to do
they love that one too.
Crazy stuff.
Real.
They love making awkward moments. That's their thing.
That's why I love your stream so much, because it takes it to a next level where they are really actually placing stuff in your environment, and they're
contributing,
they're actually contributing to everything.
It's fun. It creates chaos, and not even ordered chaos. It's complete chaos, and I always feel like it's a daycare. I'm running a daycare for my channel, but I absolutely, the interactivity part of it of my stream is what surprises me also when I come on my stream and keeps me entertained, because you know, I don't know what they're gonna do.
Yeah, it can be very energizing, I think. Now, to both, this is actually a question for both of you guys. Is there a moment that you can remember that really made you laugh, where your communities really added something super fun? I know in Miko's stream, I've loved the giant fart. There's like a 5,000 bit fart something insane.
Oh, yes. So I created a whole fart simulation game that I it's not in my stream anymore. No, it's not in my stream anymore. But back when I was a smaller streamer, I had like around 200, 300 viewers, and they really wanted me to make a fart miniature game for them.
Okay.
So that's when I built the whole like fart spaceship thing. And then I had like weird ones where like, she'll fart and create a fart bubble, and like their job is to make that grow as big as possible before popping it. You know, really nasty stuff that my community really wanted.
I love it.
Well, I mean, you've come a long way from, you know, 200 to 300 viewers. You're absolutely crushing it on Twitch right now, and everything, and on YouTube and everything. What was your start on Twitch? Like, how did you even start streaming or get into it?
Oh, so I started streaming last year around end of March, and I got laid off from my job, and I have a background in doing research and development for live animation. So I had like skill sets to make what I made, and I was like, you know, this live animation stuff should go on a live streaming platform like Twitch. So I'm gonna invest some money. I put myself into debt. And I bought all my equipment and started streaming. I actually got really lucky in that my first clip on my, like that first clip on my stream kind of went on LSF, and it got my first 50 viewers. And in Twitch, it's brutal. It's like you're buried. If you're a one viewer, when you first start, you're just buried. Mm-hmm. There's no way anybody can find you.
It's tough.
Yeah. So just having 50 viewers was like an awesome start for me. And then after that, I just slowly grew my 200, 300 community just through my, you know, whenever someone would come into my stream, they'd be like, I've never seen this before. This is really unique. I've never seen this type of interactivity before. And so that kind of, I think the uniqueness kind of grew my stream to a 200, 300 viewer point. And then I did like a tweet on Twitter that went viral, and that got me like more people, and it started, and then other streamers started noticing my content, and then it started like going, like snowballing from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, I have to say, like, I think what I really appreciate about your stream watching it is not just the sense of community, because it is it's trolling, kind of. It's trolling in the way like your younger sibling would troll.
Yeah.
Kind of in that way. You know, it's like, and so it feels almost like teasing in a fun way. It's like, okay, well, fine, I'll do this. You know, one thing I love is Miko, that I wish I had, is Miko has the comments like on her shirt that go across her shirt, which is great. But even something like that, which feels to someone listening might feel like a throwaway, oh, okay, that's cool. It's so awesome to see that in action.
I think a lot of like the creativity stuff happens because I have severe ADHD. It's a blessing and a curse, but it helps me with ideas though. And like, it helps me when I want to make something crazy for sure. Cause like nothing is cohesive in my channel. Like she suddenly decided to lay a dragon egg. Like what? Like how does that even make any sense?
But it's so good to have that creative freedom.
Yeah, true. You know? I love that. I love not working for anybody else because I can just be like, I can do whatever I want. Well, not true. That's not true. Because you can't get in trouble. But
right.
And we don't want to be in trouble with Twitch.
As the technician behind it all, what inspires you? Not just other streamers, but just like in life.
One of the biggest reasons why I made Code Miko into a video game character, she's actually an NPC, so which means that she can fit into any game genre. So like that was fun for me because I'm like a game dev hobbyist, so which means that I have an excuse to make like miniature games for her in like different game worlds, right? So like she can go into a third-person shooter world or an RPG world or you know, a Sims world. So generally, I would say like games inspired me because I like building games. Like that's like something, a hobby of mine on the side. So, but I do have a direct answer for her personality. So this is going to sound like I'm tooting you guys' horn or something, but no, like her personality is actually based slightly on Conan. Like, yeah, like I watched so much Conan. You guys have no idea. I watched so much of Conan. But one of the things that I love about Conan is that he's this arrogant boss, right? I find that so funny. I kind of made her like into like this arrogant like streamer over her chat, you know, and her mods.
I feel like he would be so honored to hear that.
Really?
I feel like he would be very happy to hear that.
Oh my God.
100%.
He's 100%. So funny. Like him and Jordan Schlansky, those series are like one of my favorites.
Oh, Schlansky. Yes, exactly. It's so funny. People always ask if he's real, and he's real.
I believe it. It's real. You can't make that up, right?
I have been looking for his technician for a long time. I don't know how it's happened. A walking hologram. I don't know how he was created. But yes, it's that's so good.
Yeah, I also just like Conan's also very animated, and like you know when he goes and does like his little like. I remember one time he was in an interview and he was acting like a bird, a stork on the beach to describe his body. And he would just like describe how long his legs were and he would just walk like a stork. And I was like, dude, I love the way he animates his body.
At the old late night show, he had all of his furniture made smaller.
Oh my God.
So he would look more cartoonish.
Really?
Like all the furniture, if you saw it in person, was smaller than you would think. So he could like step over the desk for that exact reason. You know?
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, he is like the person that I look like up to when it comes to like comedic, like comedy, anything. And he's just a really clever, smart guy. So,
I mean, you can see it. You can see it on your streams. I mean, it's so funny. Miko is hilarious. And like the timing, like the comedic timing of every, it's so, so funny.
I've never really been like a performer. I've always just been like behind my desk doing like programming and stuff like that. And so like putting myself on stream and performing like that is kind of like, is new to me. And so I'm surprised people like watching me, but at the same time, I'm so like grateful that they do.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
I actually started, I mean, before Twitch and everything, I started streaming in 2013, but I was originally in game development. Also, I was learning to code. That's what I was taking in college.
Cool.
And I was doing a lot of that behind. So I was also kind of used to just like being on my computer at home and not really getting involved. And when I started Twitch, it was such a, I'm like, I've like never been on camera. Like I have no skills with that at all, but it's definitely just come in time. And, you know, the fact that Miko has only been streaming for a year or so now, it's unbelievable. Again, it's so, the comedic timing, the way that your chat plays off of everything, it's so entertaining and it's so funny.
That is such a big compliment coming from you guys. You guys are too nice.
We're just honest. We're just
very honest.
Yeah,
just honest.
Where would you like to see Miko go? I mean, where would you like to see, like what things... You know, over the past year, do you feel like you're going to take, you know, with Miko and head to the future? Where do you see the future of things?
So Miko really wants to be part of a AAA game. That's like her ultimate dream. So nice. That's like a goal that she needs to reach, right? So I think what I want to push more on in terms of my stream, right now I'm doing a lot of interview content, like podcasts or like collaborating with other streamers, but I want to like do more of like her exploring different game worlds in the stream,
ooh,
but with chat
very cool
interactivity. So like, for example, I've been building an RPG world for a long time. So like, it'd be so fun if Miko streams in an RPG world where she fights monsters and chat can help her, you know, defeat the monsters and go on the quest together and stuff like that, where it's more game related and there's more gameplay. And that's where I'm going to be expanding, I think.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
Is there like, what kind of, I mean, I also don't want to like spoil anything or jump the gun, but like, what kind of worlds do you see her exploring?
I really want, so I started on a Sims world before, but I need to like fix it and like actually complete it. But I really want her to visit like the Sims world. And how funny would it be if like, you know, she's swimming in the chat, like gets rid of the pool ladder, right? Stuff that you do to your Sims, right? Or like she's in the room, she wants to go to the bathroom and then they delete the door, you know, or they put her in a like a small walled space, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think would be really fun. That's like something that I want to do in the future. Currently, right now, I'm working on a slight GTA type of game where Miko can go drive, kind of like carpool karaoke.
Oh man!
Mixed like with the interview person next, and like
I love that.
Going
that's gonna be chaos.
Yeah, we're going to a destination, but like chat has control over like what happens as they drive.
Oh no.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that one. That one I'm actually currently working on.
Oh, that's wow. So cool. That's gonna be insane. And I love the Sims idea too, of even just like interacting with like, oh, if there was like another Sim and they're like building a relationship or something. So funny. That would be insane.
Oh, I'm really excited for that content too. It's going to be crazy. Because Sims in itself is a sandbox. So like, you know, put chat into it, then it gets even more chaotic.
It's like Twitch plays Pokemon, but just the next level of interactivity.
Yeah.
And it's insane.
It almost feels like that CBS show Big Brother, but it almost like involved with the chat. You know, it's kind of like
Twitch plays Pokemon meets Big Brother.
Yeah, kind of. Because it's like if everyone was in this house and Miko's in this house with these other, you know, and then the chat's kind of controlling what happens.
Yeah. Right?
I love this meta thing of like Miko getting to be in a AAA game and then coming back to her stream to report on it. Like how it's going, you know, that experience.
Yes, that is what I really would think. Like, I think that would be so fun, right? If so like, fun. Especially if it's like a RPG or something where she, it's like a storyline or whatever, then it's almost like, you know, she's done for the day and then it's like she talks about it, you know? And people are like, what was that like? You know, like what, why did like, and they can ask questions like you would to people. Like you would do when you read a book or watch a movie, right? And like,
totally,
you know, something happens to characters and you want to know how they felt about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like being an actor.
Yeah.
And going and like working on set and then you come home and you're streaming and people are like, oh, how did it go?
Yeah.
And you can actually have that interactivity with it.
Yeah, that's like a dream. That would be awesome if we can get to that point.
There's also, you know, kind of things where like technical issues with Miko where if she's crossing her legs for a long time, things have, you know, things kind of get like glitching and stuff, which is stuff that, you know, I guess I have to deal with too. If I'm crossing my legs for a long time and my hips are going to hurt and that stuff as well. So,
I mean, honestly, my hips hurting is a real life problem.
I feel it. And especially again, like you're streaming constantly, you're streaming all the time. And I guess I didn't really ask about like the technical aspect of it because you're in,
oh my
like,
god,
you know, this insane suit and you have so much. How do you pee?
I can't pee. it's the hardest thing. I need to get a catheter or something. I need to get a diaper. I don't know. I have to hold my pee for the whole stream.
Oh my God.
And then I've dealt with some health issues because of that recently, actually. I gotta get used to just taking off the suit. Because the thing is that it is like once you have the suit on, you get everything adjusted and then you don't want to take it off because if you take it off, you lose your viewers, you lose momentum, and you know how difficult it is to take a break during streams, right? Because it affects, you know, the flow, your numbers, and all that. And then so I don't drink water. It's bad. I don't recommend it. I started to drink water though, and I started to just be like okay with just taking it off, and also like having my streams smaller too, like shorter too, because I used to do 6 hours of not drinking water and not being, and that was too much.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it was too much.
Maybe if we get Miko set up as like a character, like you can go and take off the suit and maybe Miko exists and chat can just kind of like do whatever they want, you know, adjust her and do anything and you can kind of run off. And go pee, come back, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about like
an intermission.
Yeah, I was. So I actually built something called, I have to put it in my stream. It's like, I built something called the Fight Club, where chat can come in and fight each other through AI. Whoa. And and I showed it on my stream a couple of times, but I haven't actually integrated it to our main project yet. But I'm like, I'm seriously, like, I think that might be my first priorities because of this like issues that I have with just peeing and going to the bathroom or taking a break.
You deserve to pee.
I deserve to pee. You're right.
and drink water.
I deserve it. I think so.
2021.
You've earned it.
It's 2021.
You deserve to pee.
Yeah.
So wait, can you talk a bit more about when you come up with these great ideas, like in like a Fight Club with, you know, AI with the chat? What does it take from what's the life cycle?
Oh my god!
So
yes,
you come up with this idea, and then kind of could you take us through that a little bit?
So okay, so it all depends on what I'm making or what's being developed. Something like Fight Club is something that I built a while ago, and I just need to implement it. So that is that, but that's all my time. And if I could just have like a day to just do that, then I could do it. But I never have just a day. So a lot of times things actually get with me, things get made, but I don't have time to fully implement it. And so we have a lot of these like projects that are like, okay, we have a lot of these, like I'm making a trivia thing that's actually almost done. That's like 99% done, but I need to implement it. So there's a backlog of things that I need to just push for. But when it comes to like the life cycle of it, it depends on what it is. So if it's a small interaction, like blow me go up, that's like one day, you know, next day you'll have it. It's like a few hours, right, of a developer's time. But when it comes to like making a whole mini game, like trivia with its own like game systems, or like the GTA or GTA style driving type stuff, that can take like a few months. So yeah, it all depends on like what we're trying to make, but it definitely takes us longer than it would like a typical dev would be. Yeah.
Well, you do have a lot going on.
Yeah.
You have a lot of stuff going on. And I think, you know, what a lot of people would be surprised to learn is that, you know, like you were a one-woman show for a long time.
Yeah.
Like you did
that
all
was
of
hard.
This. All of this, which is incredible. But I guess, was it more recently that you kind of brought more people on to help you out?
Yes, because I realized that I couldn't sit and dev anymore. And there's been since I grew, there's been so much more administrative work that I had to do, and more like, more like content creations, meetings, getting everything organized, and, you know, planning content for the next. And it's like all these, what is surprising is that there's just a lot of tiny little things, but there's a million of them. And so
it adds up.
Yeah. And then so like I'm always feeling like I'm never getting anything done, but I'm always doing something. And I also never have time. But yeah, I've been delegating my tasks a lot now that I've got a team, but it's definitely still like I can't just sit and dev for like 3 days, you know? Right. Like that's hard for me to do.
I often feel like it's kind of like, I don't know if you two feel this way, but my life in many ways feels like I'm trying to download like 16 files at once and they're all just slowly
just queued up.
Oh, I get to work on this project. Oh, it's loading just a little bit.
Yeah,
okay, now
that's
I'm working
me.
This project. Oh, it's loading.
That's
right?
That's
and you just, I should just download one thing at a time and it'd be done, but I can't.
You can't because there's a million things going on now that you have to keep track of, and you have that's to true. Give time to like every single one of them, little bit
it's
at
tough.
A time, every single day. I sometimes just want to kind of go back to my cave. And like, you know, just make my stuff. Sometimes this is why sometimes I wish I had like a month where I can just be a cave troll and just make things and then come and then have a whole like, look at all this new shit I have. You know, everything's finally here. Everything that I've been talking about for the last 3 months is finally done and it's here and we can all play with it.
Yeah, for sure.
I know just to say, it might not feel like it when you're in it. And you have your head down and you have like 100 million other things going on. And it might not feel like you're getting a lot done, but I'll tell you from the outside, like you're kicking ass.
Oh,
obviously.
Thank you.
And I think anyone would say the same thing. You're absolutely crushing it.
Oh my God, thank you.
You deserve to pee. You deserve, I deserve to pee.
As long as you pee, if you make time to pee.
I do absolutely enjoy everything though. Like even though I'm a bit more spread than nowadays, I still get to, you know, I still get to make things, like make things and make things more efficiently now because I have a team, right? So the good side is that, you know, it's much more efficient and, you know, I'm still growing and then I want my team to grow even bigger so I can produce content faster so we can see these all these cool things faster. And just overall have fun, you know? You're so, yeah. Aaron, you're so cool.
What?
Whenever I look over to your webcam, you got this ray of shining smile.
Aww.
I bow to your coolness. I bow to your coolness. Well, I think, you know, I'm sad to say, but I think we're almost out of time. We love to end every podcast with talking to our guests about their best game and their worst game, their favorite game, just to them and the game they despise the most. Mm-hmm. Sonia, what do you think? Do we start low, go high?
You know, I feel like we could end on a high note. Let's maybe we can start with a game that you just didn't, it didn't hit it for you. It just wasn't it.
So the worst game that I played? Let me think. I'm thinking. Oh, okay, wait. I might get flack, but I hated Rust.
Okay.
Everybody was all into Rust. I hated Rust so much.
Did you try it out? Did you do
like an RP? Yeah, everybody was playing Rust and I was like, okay, I'll join. And then I tried it and I couldn't get into it.
What didn't you like about it?
I think it's because I came in too late. So like everybody already had teams and everybody already had like their cliques. And then I was coming in trying to fit in and I couldn't fit in.
I've come in late to games too and totally missed the boat.
Yeah.
Like, that's
like,
kind of
hey,
just.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's talk great games. Mm-hmm.
I love The Sims.
Yes. Yep.
I love sandbox games. I love The Sims. I like building things. So naturally, I like Sims. I like the Roller Coaster Tycoon. And I'm a big boomer, so it makes sense, right?
No, that's so good. Which Sims? Like, what did you play the most?
Sims 3, because it was open world. And I know people are going to be like, you're not a real gamer. True.
For playing The Sims? For loving The Sims?
Real gamers play like competitive games.
No.
I actually, there's one, because I'm a giant boomer and I'm also Korean. There is one game that I played a lot and it was StarCraft 2.
Nice.
Yes.
So that makes me a real gamer.
I still think The Sims counts. I still think The Sims counts.
Oh, Sims definitely counts.
Okay.
100%.
I love The Sims.
100%.
I also love like the Final Fantasy series.
Oh, nice.
Ooh. Yeah. I love Japanese RPG. So I really like the old Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 8. Actually, I'm a bigger fan of like the older Final Fantasies and the newer ones. Except for the remake, obviously, because the art. And like the art direction for that was insane.
Insane.
And Final Fantasy VII Remake is using the same game engine that Konami's on as well.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I know oh my God, the new Final Fantasy, I played it a little. It's stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning.
It's
so pretty. It's wild. And I was just like I could barely play it because I keep getting like, I keep just looking at it. Just
right?
I'm like attacked. I'm like,
it's just,
whoa.
It's just, it's graphics porn.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's smooth.
Yeah.
And it's smooth too. Like it really is.
Yeah.
Like I got to say, it's a fun gaming experience.
Yeah.
For sure.
Rendering is so great.
Oh, I never got into Final Fantasy, but I feel like I'm getting sold now.
You need to play Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah,
it's such.
What's the order? Is there like one that I should play first, or something I should play? You know,
it's hard to play the older Final Fantasies because of it didn't age. In my opinion, they aged great, but it's more like I love those games, but. It's harder for...
Is it like a nostalgic
thing? Yes, it's a huge nostalgic thing. I would say Final Fantasy VII Remake's a great start.
Yeah. I was never a Final Fantasy. I had to play a lot of Final Fantasy 15 for when we did the Clueless Gamer with Elijah Wood.
That was my first experience. I saw that was so funny. Kunin was getting so frustrated. I thought it was so hilarious. Oh my gosh.
That was a real thing, by the way. All the devs were in the hallway and there was no other way out of the room.
Oh my God. I would have loved to be there with the devs.
Yep. I know. Sonia, I don't know if you saw, but we, with Elijah Wood, so we played for 3 hours and the whole time Conan is like ripping on Final Fantasy 15. Yeah. And then at the very end, this is real, we were going to leave and I was like, oh, the game devs are in the hall. He's like, have they been watching the whole time? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, what? So yeah, that was a fun thing. But you could start with Final Fantasy 7, Sonia. I say do it.
I'm going to have to.
It's a beautiful game.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. This was such an honor, such a pleasure for us. And of course, everyone out there, please check out twitch.tv/CodeMiko. It is a blast. It is the most fun you will have on a stream. And thank you so much for coming. This is an honor.
Thank you, thank you so much for having me. Seriously, this is like, I can't believe I'm on Team Coco. So thank you guys for inviting me.
Thank you to the technician. I'm in such awe of the technician and all that stuff. Also, it's so cool to hear like that CodeMiko was inspired by Conan's movements. I've always thought of him as like not really existing, like a hologram, you know? And that's why I keep trying to touch him, but my hand goes right through.
Just goes right through.
Yeah. Although when he punches me, it's solid. So I don't know how that works. Maybe it's hard light. Maybe that's it. He's got some hard light technology.
There's some science there that I don't quite understand. But yeah, the tech is insane. The tech is so cool. And I'm so excited to see the future of that. Thank you again to the technician for joining us today. And make sure to check out Miko's streams on Twitch at twitch.tv/CodeMiko and on YouTube as well at youtube.com/CodeMiko. So after you go and check out Miko, don't go anywhere else. Don't go too far because we have more video game goodness coming right up.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, so here's the deal. A few weeks ago, we had Olin Rogers from Final Space on to talk about what games he rage quit. And earlier, you were saying, Sonia, you've gotten a little bit into Katamari Damacy. And weirdly, that is a game that I have rage quit.
Why?
Isn't that weird?
It's kind of calming, though.
It is and it's not. So for people who don't know, and please tell me everybody knows Katamari Damacy. Katamari Damacy is, the idea of this game is you are rolling things up. You're sticky and you can roll things up that you are a little larger than. So you start very small and there's a room full of all this, you know, dust bunnies and like lint. And as you roll over it, you get to be a larger ball. And as you get to be a larger ball, you can roll up larger things. And eventually you can roll up things like cars and then a bunch of cars and then houses. And then sky, you know, you just become bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's really fun. And there's a time limit. How it works is every level there's a time limit and you have to get a certain size, mm-hmm. right?
You're also like simultaneously trying to make this strange like space daddy king happy with your achievements.
I used to call my dad Space Daddy King. but yeah, I think you're trying to replace the stars in the sky if I could be totally wrong.
No, you're right. So when I was playing it earlier, the one we were rebuilding cancer. So the whole level was just crab. It was tiny crab, big crab, people sitting at a table eating, and just more crab.
I love it.
So seeing this weird mashup of like matchsticks. And there was like a water gun and like other tomatoes and stuff building into this weird crab like a situation. It's an experience. But what makes you rage quit about it?
Well, because there's a point at which at the end of every level of Katamari Damacy. So the idea is, again, you want to be a certain size in a certain time limit. So you have 2.5 minutes to become, you know, 200 meters in diameter or something. There's this thing where, I don't know if this happens to you, but for me, the time is getting shorter and shorter. And I know I can't get that big. There becomes a point at which like, I know I can't get that big and I'm trying.
Not with that attitude.
Thank you. But I'm trying everything I can. And it's just, I start to like really panic. It's this weird, it makes me crazy anxious. Like it's the same feeling. Okay. Did you see Gravity with Sandra Bullock?
I don't know. I didn't.
Okay. There's a point in Gravity. Do you know what it's about?
Gravity?
Yeah. Okay, good. There's a point at which she's floating in space and it's in the trailer. And you know, in space, you can't push off of anything. And she's trying to grab this handle.
Oh, no.
And she's sliding right by this capsule. And it's just like, it's 6 inches away, but she can't.
That's giving me anxiety.
Thank you. Okay. That's how I feel. That's the exact feeling I feel when the time is almost up in Katamari and I'm just like 2 meters too short and there's nothing else I can stick to myself to make it bigger. Isn't that awful?
That is kind of an awful feeling.
And did I just ruin that game for you?
You might have. I don't think I'm ever going to play it again.
No,
listen, I rebuilt cancer. I picked up some crabs and now I'm out. Like that's, I can't go back.
And so it would make me so anxious. Oh. And I know I'm insane for everyone listening. I know I'm insane and I'm sorry. And Jen is laughing and I'm insane. I know. But it would just be that thing of like just out of reach. And I would just get really upset and I'd just angry it. And throw my controller.
I can see it. No, I can see it. I'll agree with you. It is stressful because you're rolling. Yeah, because I'm like, I picked up all of the crabs.
Yeah.
What else right. do you want?
Right.
There's nothing larger than me that I can absorb to make you happy.
Thank you. There's no more crabs, Dad.
Dad.
Get off my back.
Space Dad.
Space Dad.
Space Daddy.
Sorry I couldn't fill your sky with stars, Dad. I'm not good enough.
Thanks. Now we got to end it, Dad. Getting out of here. And that's it. That's all we have. That's all we have for this week. So if you have any questions, video game requests, do you want a video game prescription? Do you also want to complain about crabs and space daddies and everything else in between? I don't know. I don't know what's on your mind, but at Good Game, nice try. Just hit us up on Twitter or use hashtag GGNT and we will see your beautiful faces next time.
Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Chester Gwazda. Music by John Danick. Take that, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.